Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
James sidestep. Oh, LeBron James!
Jalen Brunson, 61 points.
Oh, my goodness. Victor Wembanyama.
Go Spurs, go.
Porter Lachey rises, fires, it's online.
Luka being overplayed, got to force it up underhand, and he hit it! Oh my goodness!
That's Luka. Picasso, when you give him the paintbrush, he's going to do something special.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
From college to the NBA, a fun weekend of hoops. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's. I'm Malika Andrews, and the countdown to the postseason, it is on. We're only 2 weeks away from the end of the regular season. There are so many questions, right, that still need to be answered, but we may be getting an answer to one of the biggest questions in the Eastern Conference as we say hello and happy Monday to our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, Joel Embiid, he last played in late January, and since then, the hope has been he would come back for the 76ers, but we didn't have a date or timeline until now. What more can you tell us?
Hey, Malika, Joel Embiid's return to the Sixers lineup is imminent. It could come as soon as Tuesday against the Oklahoma City Thunder back in Philadelphia. But the expectation is he will play this week. The Sixers have games later in the week against Miami, then a back-to-back on the weekend with Memphis and San Antonio. I think it's unlikely you'd see him in a back-to-back this soon coming back. But he's just been ramping up his conditioning and feeling like he was in shape. That knee has been cleared. And, you know, the expectation is that Joel Embiid could be back as soon as tomorrow. We'll know more about his status for the Thunder later today. But this is a player, Malika, who when he left this team in late January was on course to be the first player since Wilt Chamberlain to average 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists in an NBA season.
Anytime you're in the same company as Wilt Chamberlain, it is a good thing. Woj, thank you. Please do not go too far. Embiid's return, it's coming at a crucial time for the 76ers because Philadelphia, they have four games this week. Two games right now. They're two games out of that sixth spot in the East. So let's welcome in the rest of our panel. Look who is here in Los Angeles. Our senior writer, Zach Lowe, NBA champ Danny Green is here with us as well. And beaming in from H-Town, our resident big man, NBA champ in his own right, Kendrick Perkins. And Perk, you have been adamant about the Sixers not bringing Joel Embiid back. We have all listened to you say that this season. What's your reaction now that they have announced that he could return, rather that Woj has reported that he could return as soon as this week?
Well, my feelings are the same, but kudos to Joel Embiid because I know this decision pretty much fell in his hands and was on him. But let me say this. When it comes down to looking at this situation with the Philadelphia 76ers, they're in the play-in tournament right now. Now, if Joel Embiid is willing to jump off the, you know, jump into that fire, he's either going to come out looking like a hero or we know the other part of it. My thing is this, right? If he looks anywhere close to the Joel Embiid that we saw before the injury, how are we going to judge him in the postseason? To be fair, I feel like if he looks close to the 35 points per game, Joel Embiid, then all excuses, there are none of them when it comes down from him leading this team in the postseason and making a serious run, at least getting to the conference finals.
I'm not interested in all that quite yet. I want to see him play, and yeah. I want to see how he looks because, look, I'm going to defer to Joel Embiid. From what I've heard about his people and the Sixers, this is a very careful, thought-out decision. There's no rushing here. He's only coming back because they are confident he can stay healthy, and the knee will hold up. As far as the postseason, all that, look, they might be locked into eighth. It's going to be hard for them to get out of eighth. They do have an easy schedule, but so do the Heat. So do the Pacers. They don't have the tiebreakers. And if they're eighth, it's just a tough road. You're looking at a potential either you win the play-in first game and you get Milwaukee in the first round. That's a war. You lose the first play-in and then you win the second one, you get Boston in the first round. Are we ready for Boston-Philly in the first round of the playoffs with Joel Embiid? But I'll tell you this. This is the wildest of wild cards in the NBA. If this dude is 90% of the guy that was running roughshod over the league,
right,
they have a shot to beat anybody in a playoff series.
So they are eighth right now, but look at this schedule here.
It's very easy. The Heat schedule is also very easy. The Pacers schedule is also very easy. They don't have the tiebreak against either team. And like two games with six or seven to go is a lot. And like, I don't know if you can just assume that he comes in and plays 35 minutes a game, they're all of a sudden the elite team that they were before.
Yeah, I don't see him playing 35 minutes either. And quite honestly, I think it is a little too late. I think they were expecting to come back sooner. 2 weeks left in the season, it's not enough to make up. Maybe he might come back to himself, but the team around him, the group around him, is not used to playing with him. 30 games without him, those guys have to adjust. The coaching has to adjust. Their whole style of play. Their best bet was for him to come back earlier, try to match up with Cleveland in the first round, and then hopefully build rhythm. But if they have to match up with Milwaukee or Boston, it's an early
Kendrick
exit.
Looks befuddled. Why?
I am befuddled because Zach said the postseason, he's not worried about none of that stuff. Why not? What's the point of bringing them back? They only have seven games left. The point of bringing them back is that in the organization, they must have the mindset that they actually could do something in the postseason. And I can understand that with how vulnerable the Eastern Conference is right now, Zach. Not you, Danny. I'm talking to Zach. Because he said he wasn't worried
Danny,
about
Danny
all
looks
that.
Good, though. And Danny's,
I'm trying to, the Easter suit on Monday.
I'm trying to understand why. It's seven games left in the regular season. We should be concerned about that and worried about that.
I meant I'm not worried about the noise. I'm not worried about how are we going to judge him, what's his legacy going to be, the excuses. I'm not worried about any of that. I am interested and I guess worried, whatever term you want to use, about how good this team can be because they were a dominant starting five when they had him, when they had D'Anthony Melton. We don't know what his status is. But if they have this dude averaging 35 a game, a point a minute, or 80% or 90% of that, they're a dangerous team for him, but I'm just not interested in I'm not going into the dialogue of it yet because let me see him play. Let's fingers crossed he's healthy and all of that.
But let's say somehow. Go ahead, Kendrick.
No, go. I mean, that we all want to see what he looks like when he tomorrow night to see how we're going to judge him. That's why I said, in all fairness, we have to see it because if he looks like the Joel Embiid we saw before injury, then he has no excuses going into the postseason because he came back.
Well,
this is part of jumping in the fire.
To that point, let's bring Adrian Wojnarowski back into the conversation, who's been standing by. Woj, how confident are the 76ers they're getting that full-strength Joel Embiid back?
Listen, they have really liked what they have seen. Anybody who's watched Joel Embiid work out lately, he looks ready to play to them, but he's been out a long time. He is coming off of another knee procedure. It is not easy to just walk back into an NBA season
right
before the playoffs and be back in an MVP form, which he was. And remember the other thing. He left a team that didn't include Buddy Hield, didn't include Kyle Lowry. He'll get to play for those with those guards for the first time in this window before, as Zach said, probably the play-in tournament. But there is confidence that Joel Embiid can get back and play at a high level. But as we have seen with this Philly group, they need Joel Embiid at an MVP level to really be able to make a run at Boston, make a run at Philadelphia. That's going to be really difficult in this short window. But the clock is ticking in Philadelphia. It's ticking for this organization. It's ticking in Joel Embiid's career. There was an opportunity to be healthy and come back and play, and they've got to make a run at it.
So let's take a look at the standings to see who they could be matching up with, because if it is the Celtics who have clinched that top spot in the East, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to topple a team that's been at the top of the NBA all year long. Then the Bucks, they sit at the two seed, just 2.5 games ahead of the Cavaliers. You see the Sixers, they're currently in eighth. They have 7 games to go here. I think, Danny, if somehow they were to match up with the Cavaliers, you would probably pick the 76ers in that series, but it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get to that matchup.
Yeah, only because Cleveland lacks the experience. That's the only reason why. And you have Joel Embiid. I don't think they have anybody to guard him in that. And also, Cleveland has their own injury issues with Donovan Mitchell in and out of the lineup, Evan Mobley in and out of the lineup. But Philly's definitely tough enough, can score enough if we have everybody healthy. But like Woj said, it's going to be interesting to see how Kyle Lowry, the guys that weren't there before, Buddy Hield, to both play with Joel. So, yeah, this is going to be a matchup that they would like to get so they can catch Indiana. If not, it's going to be a tough, said, early playoffs for them. But the only way they can build rhythm and get Joel back in good shape and be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals if they get an easier matchup in the first round.
Usually we ask for a percentage chance, but a Zach-centage chance that they could give the Celtics a run for their money in the first round.
Zach-centage?
I was trying to come up with something better than that. I need another cup
of
coffee.
Well, first, the other difference between 7-6 is not just Milwaukee-Cleveland. It's a week off before you get to play in the playoffs versus play-in tournament. What does give Boston a run in the first round? What does that mean?
Are they the biggest threat to the Celtics?
No. Milwaukee's the biggest threat to the Celtics.
In the East.
My percentage chance, if you're talking like tough six-game series or seven-game series and they lose or win, 27.8% chance.
27.8. I appreciate the Zaxcision there, the precision in all of that. Perk, last word on this.
They're losing five if they matched up with the Boston Celtics. It'd be Celtics in five.
I'm not laughing.
That lines up with my Zach Senich chance.
Yeah, that's about a 27.8% chance if you're doing the conversions.
They'll put Joel Embiid in the pick and roll, and they go test out his conditioning and his lateral movement, and rightfully so.
Well, the 76ers are not the only ones that could have a bit of an uphill battle in the postseason. The Los Angeles Lakers do as well. And coming up on NBA Today, yesterday, LeBron James, he hit the record books again, while Steph and company passed a huge test, but just barely. So how do our experts feel about both the Lakers and the Dubs with 2 weeks left in the season? Answers coming ahead. Meanwhile, in case somehow, some way you missed another Victor Wembanyama eye-popping night, what he did, why games like it might be a regular occurrence soon for the Spurs. And the Knicks, they lost a heartbreaker, Zach, to the Thunder last night. But that wasn't the worst news. So hear why a title run, it may have gotten a lot harder in the Big Apple. You're watching NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
Oh, the floor is ours. Well, then, there are three teams that have 2 weeks to secure the one seed out West. Let's catch you up on the race for the top spot with a little coast to coast. Ready, set, let's get it. The Wolves, they're in third place after Friday's big win in Denver, but they also had a home loss to the Bulls. So Minnesota was outscored 13-2 over the final 5 minutes. They rank 27th in clutch time. We've been talking about this, Danny. Do you trust this team late in games?
Nope. This was an issue they had before All-Star break. They should have fixed it then. They need Karl Anthony Towns to be healthy for them to make a deep run, and they don't have it right now.
That was succinct. He said, nope. All right. After a brief stint in third, the Nuggets, they climbed back into second place. That's thanks to a cool 26, 18, and 16 from Nikola Jokic against the Cavaliers. Zach, how likely is it that Joker becomes just the second unanimous MVP in NBA history after Steph?
Unanimous?
Unanimous.
Unlikely. It's not going to be unanimous. Those other guys down there are going to get votes. Luka's making a push. SGA is not going to be unanimous. I would be shocked if you were unanimous. Shocked, I say.
Shocked, but will he be the MVP?
Probably.
Probably. All right, last stop, the Garden. Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're picking this up with under 4 minutes left here. The Knicks trail by three. Brunson, the ball stays alive, and he's able to nail the three. Tie game at 104, Zach Lowe.
Jalen Brunson, what an incredible story. Clutch shot after clutch shot. And this guy, get to know and the love of America, J-Dub Jalen Williams. He's a stud.
He absolutely is. The Thunder up by 3. 12 seconds left. The Knicks down by 1. Jalen Brunson blows past Chet Holmgren. He wanted to be called for the and one there, Zach.
I think I'm kind of okay with that being a no call. It looks like a foul when he falls over. He falls over a lot. I think I might be okay with that as a no call. Sorry, Knicks fans.
The Knicks up by 1. You think that that might be it. However.
You don't think that might be it. This dude is an absolute killer. A killer. Unanimous MVP, you said? No way.
I have him as my MVP, honestly.
You have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as your MVP.
I do.
All right. Well, last chance for the New York Knicks. 1.8 on the clock. This is the guy you want to have the ball. Brunson couldn't quite get it to go. That noise. He finished with 30 points. The Knicks lose a heartbreaker. OKC, though, clinched a playoff spot last night. And according to ESPN analytics, the Thunder currently have a 48% chance to get that one seed, something they haven't done since Big Perk was an OKC. While the Timberwolves and Nuggets, they each have a 26% chance to finish with the top spot. As for the Knicks, could help be on the way? Well, here's Josh Hart.
This is the team that we're going to have. I think that's how, you know, we have to approach it. You know, that those guys, aren't coming back. And then obviously we'll be pleasantly surprised if they come back.
Adrian Wojnarowski back with us here. And Josh Hart, he seems resigned to the fact that OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, they are not walking through the door anytime soon. Is he right, though? What are their timelines to return?
Malika, let's set aside Julius Randle for a moment. Nothing has changed on him. He's not been cleared for contact yet. But OG Anunoby, listen, I'm told that the Knicks, they want that elbow, which had a loose body taken out of it at the trade deadline. Early February, he came back, played a couple of games, and then went out again. They don't want him in and out of the lineup. They want that injury, the inflammation, the irritation to go away, and that when they bring OG Anunoby back, he can stay back. And they've got certainly a look at the big picture of having him healthy, ready, hopefully for the postseason. That doesn't mean he won't come back during the regular season, but they don't want him in and out of the lineup. And this is an organization right now that wants to play it safe with Anunoby. They're 15-2 in New York in games he's played this season since that trade from the Raptors.
Woj, thank you so very much. Certainly OG Anunoby has missed his fair share of games over the last several years, so this is something that the Knicks knew when they traded for him. Still, as Woj said, 15-2, they want this guy back. But as much as I know you've been high on the Knicks, and as much as I know, Danny, you enjoy the Knicks, there is no bigger body supporter of Jalen Brunson out of the East, at East of Madison Square Garden, than you, Kendrick Perkins. So if injury questions continue to hang over New York as we head into the playoffs, do you think that Jalen Brunson, he can still lead this Knicks team to an Eastern Conference Finals, which is where you set their bar not too long ago?
Yes.
Why is he whispering it?
That means I'm not saying it with confidence and with my chest poked out, but I'm going to go down with this ship if it happened to sink on me believing in Jalen Brunson and him leading this New York Knicks team, even without OG Anunoby and Julius Randle to the conference finals. Listen, right now the East is wide open. If they could stay away from the Boston Celtics, I believe that Jalen Brunson has the capability of dominating any series. We saw a small sample size of this past weekend. We saw what Victor Wembanyama had to do in order to knock off Big Body Brunson's historical 61 performance. We saw last night him go against a tough Oklahoma City Thunder team, and SGA had to hit a game winner. Well, I'm looking in the East, and I'm looking at how Jalen Brunson has been delivering. If those others, Josh Hart, Hartenstein, Alex Burke, if they could just elevate their game just a little bit, they still got a fighting chance to make noise and compete in the East to make it to the conference finals.
Yes. I'm with you on this one, Big Perk. Jalen Brunson's special. Some guys just know how to win, and he gets it done. Regardless of who's on the floor or not, he's going to figure out a way. Only if they can avoid Boston. They can beat Milwaukee. They can beat Philly, Cleveland, teams like that. But if they end up facing Boston before the Eastern Conference Finals, then it'll probably be going home without those guys. But those other teams, I think Jalen Brunson is special enough to beat them. Not by himself, but he can lead his team to beat those guys.
A lot of ifs from these people. A lot of ifs.
There's whispers.
If ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk, as Noah Perk says. I got no ifs. They're not getting to the conference finals without OG Anunoby and Julius Randle. That you're saying they're going to beat either the Bucks or the Celtics in the second round as presently constituted. I love this team. I love their fight. I love Jalen Brunson, who's making a case not just for All-NBA, but for that fifth spot on the first team All-NBA. I don't think he's going to get there, but he's making a case. I love everything about him. I love Tibbs. Love the toughness. They played eight guys yesterday, essentially.
For how many minutes?
Six of them played more than 12 minutes. Mm. I don't know what kind of fumes these dudes are going to be running on when the playoffs start, but poor Deuce McBride and Josh Hart need a night off. I just don't think they have enough firepower without both Anunoby and Randle to beat Milwaukee or definitely not Boston in the series. Now, if they got Anunoby back, that might change the equation because I think he fits perfectly. I think he actually might be more important to their team than Randle is, but I just wish we could see them all healthy because they were rolling and rampaging over everybody, and they were – that team with everybody was a threat not just to make the conference finals, but to be a pain against Boston in the conference finals.
Jalen Brunson has been breathtaking all season long. It has been so much fun to watch him. He is inching towards the category of, well, you don't really want to bet against Jalen Brunson because just when you do, he's going to surprise you. However, watching down the stretch of that game, when you're asking a six-foot guard to operate and score in the paint the way that you're asking him to without a Julius Randle and some of these other guys, it's getting a little bit tricky when you start to look at some of those matchups. And as Woj just said, right now it looks like OG Anunoby could be on a better track, a track to be back sooner than Julius Randle. And they need their full complement of guys if they're going to make a serious run in a crowded Eastern Conference. But my friends, we got a lot to get to on this show. So up next, hear how much LeBron, how much time he thinks he has left in the league. But will the Warriors Big Three stay together for longer than that? We discuss and make Perk pick. Plus, ahead of the massive rematch tonight between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in the Elite Eight, Chinnea Agumike, Andrea, they stopped by to tell us what to watch. They have been sensational all weekend long. They've been so much fun to watch. And as the Mavs roll over the West, so do Luka's fingers over the ball. So we're talking about finger rolls. What other amazing ones give Luka a run for his money? We're going to show you. You don't want to miss that. You're watching NBA Today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Only 2 weeks left for LeBron and Steph to try to get their teams playoff or play-in ready. So let's see how they did over the weekend. We're going to start with Steph Curry down in San Antonio facing Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Victor going to work here. He remembers when Trace Jackson Davis put him on a poster earlier this season, Zach.
That's also the center on the other team, and it looks like for a second like it might be the point guard. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Well, so is this. You knew, Danny Green, when Steph Curry hit this, here come the Warriors.
Yeah, they're waking up at the right time. So I'm excited to see them in this play-in tournament.
But anything you can do, I can also do it 7 feet tall. 7'5", actually, Zach.
Are we singing now? Is that singing? It's
Are
ridiculous.
You?
Every highlight is ridiculous.
Well, that's why you sometimes just have to sing, because what else can you say? But when Klay Thompson pulled up for this huge three to give the Warriors a crucial lead, Golden State gets the win, 117-113. A little close for comfort down the stretch there. Speaking of threes, LeBron James, his chalk toss this time in Brooklyn. LeBron, why not? Pull up for three? Yeah, that one's good. Let's just start keeping track at this point, Zach, because it was getting a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Poor Nets. Just on the wrong side of a lot of highlights. I think he's going to shoot this.
You think?
I think he's going to shoot. It's usually the left side, but right side, why not? He's shooting 40-plus percent this year on threes. It's kind of crazy.
It's something
Feels
that he has worked on, added to his game. Once again, on the other side in the corner, sure, Danny, that's good too.
This is Clay-esque. He's no dribbles at this point. He's just catching and shooting. Not a norm from LeBron James.
I mean, look, if he can keep shooting jump shots at this level, it's going to, I don't know if you can say extend his career, but sure, keep shooting, LeBron. That's six, I can count. Five, six, there's more.
Extending his career and extending his
range. Seven. I like these little squares we have. They look good.
It reminds me of the Milwaukee Bucks court where they actually painted those types of squares on the
floor. Off the dribble corner three. Did you ever make an off the dribble corner three?
Not the step back, not like that.
Did you ever see someone in the crowd wearing a goat costume?
No.
I thought it was a bunny because it was Easter.
Oh, I thought it was a goat because it's LeBron.
At what point do you
either way, LeBron James, just absurd from three. 116-104. The Lakers get the win, and he continues to make history. This time joining Michael Jordan as the only players to ever have multiple 40-point games after turning 39. In fact, all other players ever have two 40-point games combined at that, should we call it, an advanced age in their career.
Ouch. Super mature.
Ouch. So take a listen to LeBron and how much more gas he thinks he has left in the tank.
Not very long. I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years, that's for damn sure, but not very long. I don't know when that door will close as far as when I retire, but I don't have much time left.
So we all know LeBron is going to have to hang it up at some point, but in year 21, it feels like his window. Why are you laughing, Perk?
Because Bron is a trip, man. Bron is a trip. He know he's not going anywhere no time soon. Damn it, he knows when the Lakers and Jeannie Buss put that contract on the table this offseason, damn it, he's going to be re-signing as a Lakers, man. I don't know why he playing these damn games.
Well, then let me ask you this. Since we're talking about Golden State, since we're talking about the Lakers, since you're hee-heeing and kee-keeing over there, Kendrick, four straight wins for the Dubs. It's hard to say their window feels the same for their, at least their core three, as it does for the longevity that you're putting on LeBron James. So, Perk, what do you think? Who lasts longer? What lasts longer? The Warriors' big three together in the Bay Area or LeBron James' career? Not laughing now.
I'm going with LeBron James. And you know what's crazy is that LeBron James is actually probably going to have an opportunity to end in the big three because they're going to have to play in the play-in tournament most likely if they continue at this pace because both of these teams been in the ninth and 10th spot over the last month. So when I think about LeBron, he's going to retire on his terms. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. The one thing that a lot of critics would love to criticize him on is his ability of shooting a trade ball. Look like he's been in the lab working on that. But the Golden State Warriors, that big three, we've already seen too much, you know what I'm saying, turmoil throughout the course of this season. That makes me think we already come to an end when it comes to watching Draymond, Steph, Clay.
I think they expire at the same time, and I think at most another year. A lot of antics, like you said, turmoil, a lot of up and down with Clay. They're not sure what they're going to get, if they can bring him back. So I think LeBron plays maybe one more year, if not sooner. But
that's
I see both of these groups ending around the same time, and it could be this summer.
Well, one of their seasons is going to expire in about 3 weeks because they're 9th and 10th. They were 9th and 10th a month ago. They were 9th and 10th 2 weeks ago. They're 9th and 10th now. They are in the junior varsity back bracket of the play-in tournament. But for this question, I will go with the Warriors core outlasting LeBron. Why? I have no earthly idea except that the antics and the turmoil that you guys have mentioned make it seem almost like Draymond and Clay are more likely to stay with the Warriors because I don't know what team is going to like pony up a whole bunch of draft picks to trade for Draymond Green with 3 years left on his contract. He belongs with Steph. He belongs with the Warriors. Clay belongs with the Warriors. Give it a couple more years at maybe fair contracts and see where it goes.
I'm just reversing back to Danny saying one more season, if that.
This summer. It could happen this summer.
Sure, for the next two weeks, but not for...
You know how Draymond fuses. And if you lose in a play-in...
Well, Draymond was very, very good this weekend against the San Antonio Spurs. Let's bring it back. Because, Perk, I know you're befuddled in all this. You good?
I'm just asking. I'm just trying... Danny, one more year for LeBron James? No, like... LeBron James is playing at least two, three more years easily.
Nah.
He might make an All-NBA team this year.
Yes, but they can offer him contract. He's still going to retire before that contract ends. I give him one more year. He'll try to play with Bronny. extend 22 years on that body, those miles, it's coming to an end quickly.
Well,
God bless them.
The Dubs, they put an end to San Antonio last night. But it is safe to say that Victor Wembanyama got Draymond Green's attention in all this. Take a listen.
He is a very, 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 very special talent. I was just telling Tracy and those guys, like, I'm happy had the opportunity to play against him now, because they'll have to deal with him a lot later, and I won't be in the league no more, so that's good for me.
There was so much college basketball this weekend. You might have missed Victor Wembanyama doing something that no rookie has done since Shaquille O'Neal. And since Danny is already saying LeBron's only got one more year, at least the league is in really, really good hands, Zach.
Yeah, the ball is in his hands. And when you shoot, the ball's already in his hands. You're going to block it before you even release it. And then he's going to just keep dribbling and do this. You're like, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah, coast to coast over Isaiah Hartenstein. That's fine. And then later in the second quarter here, Wemby just zips a dime to Malachi Branham. And then, you know what? I'm going to do it too. Drives. It's like a slow motion slam, Danny.
It's like a video game out there watching him play. And I feel for these bigs. These five men having to guard out on the floor, the things that they've never done before, guard them from three, and he's passing. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
How would you have handled this?
There's not much I could do. I'd call timeout, foul him, foul out. There's not much you could do with this,
well,
except for pray.
Jalen Brunson, on his way to a 60-point night, still no match for Victor Wembanyama.
I mean, that was an off-the-dribble step-back three. I just don't even... And then just throw it to him. Throw the lob to him, too. And another corner three. Sure, call a set play for your 7'4" center to take a corner three. Sure, why not?
And that's Mitchell Robinson contesting. He's making Mitchell Robinson look like a small guard. It doesn't faze him at all shooting his jump shot.
There's more. In overtime, the Spurs are up two. Victor Wembanyama, little tip in there.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because why not? And then 1:15 left to play. Let's go ahead here. The Spurs up by one. Once again, he is hitting this shot.
Inverted pick and roll with Devin Vassell. Their two-man game is becoming a really big weapon.
His point of release is so high. I don't know what you do to guard that. Case in point. Gives the ball a hug. Says, you know what?
That was the Tim Duncan grip on the ball right there. Like before
Brunson,
every 61-point
basketball goes to the Spurs fans.
Yeah, well, he got a fine for that, but I would say he probably thought it was worth it. Victor is having a season we've never seen before from any rookie. He's the first rookie in league history with averages of 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. The last player with those averages in a season was Shaq in 2000, and he won league MVP that year. It's no longer going to be, the first since Wilt. It's now going to be the first since Victor. Coming up, a pair of familiar foes they meet tonight, and our A-team is here to tell us what to look for in the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese rematch.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang!
It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like...
Bang!
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 That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
This is what we have been waiting for, a rematch of last year's national championship game. Angel Reese and the reigning national champs LSU take on Caitlin Clark in Iowa. So last year's finals drew almost 10 million viewers. If you build it, they will come, making it the most watched women's basketball game in television history. So what can we expect tonight, you might ask? Well, the trio that has been informing us, entertaining us all weekend long has more.
Well, thank you, NBA Today. I mean,
L. Duncan, Andrea Carter, and certainly you know this one. We stole her from you. With all due respect to the fellas, of the National Basketball Association, all eyes in the basketball world are going to be on Albany in the most anticipated rematch that certainly I can think of. Number one Iowa facing number three LSU. I want you to give me, Dre, a player to watch and an X factor in this one. Start with LSU.
We're going to start with LSU. They're the reigning national champions. I know Iowa's number one, but LSU, they're still the top dogs from last season. And we have to start with Angel Reese, because Angel Reese has had nine back-to-back-to-back-to-back double-doubles in NCAA tournament games. The way she is relentless on the glass, the strength that she can play with, and her ability to draw fouls can cause problems. The X factor, you already know it's going to be a guard, and it is Big Foe, Flauje Johnson. Flauje's ability to get to the rim, put pressure on the paint, her speed in transition, and her length defensively could be huge for this LSU team.
All right, so on the Iowa side, what are you looking for, Chennai?
Well, clearly, Iowa has the greatest score
they
that
do?
College basketball has ever seen. And in case you've been living under a rock, her name is Caitlin Clark. So first, let's talk about her scoring. I mean, she just is great at getting to the rim. That's what keeps defenses honest. But we all know her signature shot is from three. Again, she accounted for 69% of Iowa's offense last time out. Now, it's not just her scoring. It's also her assisting. 29 points, 15 assists. That's going to be crucial to keep her team confident going up against the Tigers.
I love what she said, too, after they won and setting up this matchup, that, like, this perceived rift between her and Angel Reese, yeah, it's not that. It's all love, and it's great for the game. And, man, is it great for ESPN. We are going to see you at 7 p.m. Eastern, but with that, we get it back to the studios.
Thanks, friends. Well, the buzz around this game, it's absolutely unparalleled, as Elle said. And did you guys know that Travis Scott was one of Iowa's biggest fans?
Did not.
He took to social media earlier today, Danny, and he said this: today might be one of the illest days in women's sports history. Let's get it. So you can catch Caitlin, Angel Reese, one of the illest days in women's sports history tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. And it keeps going. Friend of the show, Paige Beckers in UConn take on freshman phenom Juju Watkins at USC. All games are on ESPN and the app. This is going to be a great night of hoops. Luka was also on one last night. And in case you were watching the NCAA tournament, we're going to show you. Did you see this trick shot in pregame off the Jumbotron? And then, of course, the underhand finger roll from deep somehow. I'm sorry, Houston Rockets. That inspired some top of the top from our producers. We're going to do some top finger rolls here. And first up, we're going to start, Danny. Tracy McGrady. This is Christmas Day 2003. You know you remember this one. This was,
of course,
I mean.
What? T-Mac. Ooh. Smooth as butter. Smooth as butter.
The mid-air switch perk.
Oh.
See,
Perk
was so taken back, his mic couldn't even be on for the first couple of words that came out of his mouth. And then you have Clyde Drexler. This is the 1994 playoffs. Clyde the Glide.
Glide.
And just gives Glide a
the
whole.
The long distance. That's nice.
Yeah. Clyde was like that.
Clyde had an underrated layup package, too, when it came to the finger roll.
Well, and then there's Eddie Jones. This is in 1997.
Jumping from the three-point line, right?
Just inside. Like, just inside the three-point line. Just bloop. What?
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, interesting bit of timing from Eddie Jones.
That was sick.
Oh, and then looks in nice, 82, you don't even need HD to be able to see this. This is the Iceman, George Gervin.
Got it.
He was fouled, not given a continuation, but we're showing it to you anyway. It was that nice.
Behind King of the finger roll.
Mm-hmm.
All-time greatest finger roll. Yep. Gotta be.
And then one more look at Luka.
It was so 82-ish.
Perk, what would happen if you attempted this?
One, I wouldn't have never had the ball in my hands right there to be able to attempt that. But two, that's just Luka doing Luka things. Luka magic.
Luka magic. And that distance between the Spurs and Warriors widened just a bit. Our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader features Jason Tatum, the Celtics, hosting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder. Yeah, it's a good one. 7:30 Eastern. Then Donovan Mitchell, the Cavaliers, take on KD, Devin Booker, and the Suns, who are looking to get out of the play-in tournament. It is that time of year, folks. You can't miss a single game. The standings all change in an instant. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock. Hey, before we bounce, you might not know Utah general manager Justin Zanuck by name, but you know his work. He engineered blockbuster trades with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And now he's in the fight for his life here. He has polycystic kidney disease, where he only has a 14% use of his kidney. And when his staff found out at the beginning of the season that he needed a kidney transplant, many within the Utah Jazz, they lined up to see if they were a match and could be a donor. As we say hello to our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. This winter, he found a match, but any relief that came with that Woj, it was counterbalanced by the fact that all three of his young children, they have also been diagnosed with the same disease. So, Woj, you spent some time with the Zanuck family here. What are they hoping is learned from their story?
Well, number one, Malika, that Justin Zanuck, he'll undergo that kidney transplant tomorrow in Salt Lake City, but he'll recover. He will return to the job. You know, he will remain leading that front office in Utah, you know, certainly by, you know, as we get closer to the combine, the draft, free agency. His father had a kidney transplant 21 years ago on Friday, and he's lived a very healthy life. But certainly the urgency now with his own three children who were diagnosed with the same kidney disease. It's cysts that grow on your kidneys. You know, they're in for a long haul. They may need multiple kidney transplants in their lifetime. He wants to bring awareness to the National Kidney Donor Registry to explain to people how they can help in that regard. And, you know, Justin Zanuck, listen, Malika, when you were a Cub reporter, you came to us at ESPN. One of the first people I introduced you to was Justin, because I told you that his network of people, the trust those around the league had in him, was virtually unmatched. And that if people thought you were okay with Justin Zanuck, it was going to help you build relationships all over this league. And I think today, as the rest of the league largely is finding out about what Justin, his family are up against, you know, they're really rallying behind him.
And that was seen, Woj, in the fact that so many from the Utah Jazz, they went to see if they were a match so that they could be a donor for Justin Zanuck. Right. He is getting that surgery on Tuesday, and certainly our thoughts are with the entire Zanuck family here. You can read more about Justin Zanuck's story right now on ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski has penned an in-depth profile of the Zanuck family, of the fight that they are in now that Justin Zanuck has been diagnosed with this disease, as well as all three of his children. Woj, thank you so very much. We still have a lot to get to here on NBA Today. Coming up earlier in the show, Danny Green, you had an unfathomable prediction about LeBron's future. Find out what that was next.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
I don't know what when that door will close as far as when I retire, but I don't have much time left.
I think LeBron plays maybe one more year, if not sooner, but I see both of these groups ending around the same time, and it could be this summer.
Danny, one more year for LeBron James? No, like, LeBron James is playing at least two, three more years easily.
Nah.
He might make an All-NBA team this year.
I give him one more year. He'll try to play with Bronny. Extend 22 years on that body, those miles, it's coming to an end quickly.
God bless him.
You've had time. You've had about 35, 40 minutes now to digest your decision, see if you regret saying that out loud. You standing on business?
Nope, I'm standing on it.
Oh!
I think I said I see him extending it for one more year to play with Bronny. I've seen, even though we look at him as superhuman, he's still a human being. And Father Time, he is giving him a good run for his money.
Yep.
But ultimately, Father Time always wins. In year 22, mm-hmm. We've seen it happen to Kobe, God rest his soul. We've seen things happen to Vince. We've seen Dirk. We've seen guys become a shell of themselves that were great. And he may not be a shell of himself, but I just don't see him wanting to be that at this point of his career.
I'm going to just – Perk's getting angrier and angrier, so I can see it building. So you just talk, Perk.
Yeah, go ahead, Kendrick.
I'm just saying, he's different. He's defeated these odds right now. I mean, look at what he's doing right now, Danny. He's not slowing down no time soon. He said he's not going to play another 21 years, but I wasn't expecting you to say another just one more year. Like, LeBron James is going to continue to build. Now, I believe it's 2 to 3 years, then we could call it. He may call it a quits, but he got too much love for the game of basketball. I feel like him and AD are tied together when it comes to their personal relationship and their time with Los Angeles. So, you know, I think he'll play however long Anthony Davis' contract is with the Los Angeles Lakers, to be honest with you.
Well, that's longer than two or three years, Perk. That could be a while. But look, if we got 1 year over here,
yeah,
and we got on the screen the angry guy said 3 years, 2 to 3 years maybe. If I'm having to choose between, nobody knows, right? Like with this world,
I don't even know if LeBron knows. It depends on his body, how everything holds up, you know. But we are talking to two of LeBron's former teammates.
I think this is actually closer.
He's like pointing at Danny.
If I had to bet, I would bet on after next year, ahead of 3 years. He's getting up there. It's getting hard.
And you'll be just like everybody else out there in the world, losing your money to the house.
It's a smart, calculated decision, Perk. It's a smart decision.
I'm just glad we're talking about this in 2024, and he's still going, and he's still an All-NBA level player, and the Lakers are still relevant.
Well, I wasn't
sure. Let's celebrate that.
I am fully with you, Zach. I honestly wasn't sure when Danny first said it earlier in our show. I checked the calendar. It's April 1st. Rabbit. I wasn't sure if this was a joke or not.
Oh, no.
But our staff, since it is April Fool's Day, is going to see if they can fool us with some trivia about ourselves. So I've been given, I haven't seen these before, I have been given two statements by our staff. One is a fact, one is a fool. Perk, are you ready to start us off?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about Danny Green, okay?
Well, please do.
All right. Danny Green has a career 680% winning percentage against either one, LeBron James, or two, Kendrick Perkins. Which one is true, Perk, about Danny?
It's number one, LeBron James.
Okay. Is it number one, LeBron James? Ding, ding, ding.
Perk.
Well, couldn't, yeah. You could. No player actually has a better winning percentage.
I've been lucky. I played some really good teams. So, to be fair, I had a good team in San Antonio, had a good team.
All right, well, how about this, Zach? How well do you know Perk? Perk made 0 3-pointers during his NBA career, or he has more career techs than playoff games. Which one is true?
Ooh. Why do I have to guess these things?
I literally just read this for the first time. Which one is true?
The 0 3-pointers.
The 0 3-pointers. Is the 0 3-pointers true? It is correct.
Hey, Perk, look at that.
All right.
So Perk and I have the same number of career NBA three-pointers.
So how about this? Zach Lowe, which one, Danny?
We don't have the same number of career ducks.
Zach Lowe, he's had many paths to this chair. Which one of these actual jobs has he had before he covered the NBA? Was he a lifeguard or was he a history teacher?
Lifeguard. I'm going lifeguard.
Oh, I really hope there's a Photoshop for that. Wrong, Zach Lowe was it.
The answer is Zach both. Was it. The answer is both. You're right. They're right. What kind of research staff do we have here?
Oh, my goodness. All right, that's going to do it for us. We got about 3 hours to get in workouts and snacks because we got a big game of women's, big night of women's hoops ahead of us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.